Our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 41. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people, just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he look like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down. Seas would have roared. Trees would have clapped their hands. But the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one is looking, in the darkness, he came in. That's the beginning of the Nativity story as told by the Jesus Storybook Bible, and it really captures this feeling of a monumental change coming. But coming in a way that's a little less than monumental, a little more natural, a little more subtle. And so, well, in Advent, we look ahead to this coming. We look ahead to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's a monumental event. But when we realize that his coming was meek and lowly, and a little less than monumental, it really brings us to this place that's not about the pomp. It's not about the parties. It's not about the giant get-together. It's not about any of that, but it's about Christ. And it's not just that Christ came. It's that he came to us. That he came to you. And he came to me. It's that the God of this universe, the one who created it all, who set the foundations of the earth and put the stars in place and told the seas that they could go this far and no further, who by his word made the host of heaven and all the earth and everything therein, was coming for us, that we might be forever with him. In the scene of Scripture, in the scene just before the Scripture we read, Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, who reveals to her what's going to happen. She's going to conceive a child, and he's going to be great. And make that a little bigger, see if that'll be easier to read. He's going to be great. And we see this interesting theme going on. The woman at advanced age who has passed childbearing years but is barren, she's going to have a child. And the young virgin who is just entering her childbearing years, she hasn't had any children, will also have a child. And they will both be great. John will be great before the Lord and he will make ready a people. Well, Jesus will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High and will reign on the throne of David forever. John is great, but Jesus is the greatest. And you just wonder, sometimes you wonder how Mary processes all this. I wonder how Mary processes all this. What did she think? What did she know? You know, there's that famous song, and we're actually going to sing that song later. Mary, did you know? Like, what did she know? What did she understand about what was happening? How did she process it? Was everything revealed to her at that point? Did she know everything that was happening? See, I don't think so. And yet her response was one of trust, was one of just faith. "I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." See, she didn't have all the answers. She wasn't sure how everything would turn out, but she trusted in the Lord. "Let it be, for I'm a servant of the Lord." And you know what, regardless of what happens to us right now and throughout this time and throughout our lives, my prayer is that our minds would be the same as Mary's. That we would believe the word of the Lord delivered to us. That we would trust in God and humble ourselves before him, that he might use us in mighty ways in this world. Because surely the angel's announcement to Mary must have been almost unbelievable. But not just unbelievable, but like wonderfully unbelievable. Right? Just as the gospel to our ears is wonderfully almost unbelievable. That God would look upon our lowly estate, that God would see our sin, that God would see our unrighteousness, that he would see my rebellion, and he would love me and love you in such a way that he would come to us, that he would pay the price for our sin, that he would pay the price for our rebellion in order to bring us back to him. This is wonderfully unbelievable. And that we might have this gift by grace through faith. Not that we have to earn it, not that we have to work for it as if we could, but that we would believe it, that we would hear and we would respond in faith and believing loyalty. I am a servant to the Lord. Let it be according to your word. After this, Mary hurries to see Elizabeth. And I have to think the part of why she wanted to hurry to see Elizabeth was to see if it was true. Because the angel told her specifically Elizabeth was going to have a child too. So what better way to confirm the message than to go see Elizabeth and find out if she's pregnant? And this isn't that Mary didn't trust or believe. I'm not suggesting that. But since the angel mentioned Elizabeth, who else might be able to understand what's going on? Who else could she talk to about this? Who else would get it? And for Elizabeth also, she was able to share her joy with Mary. They were connected by more than just blood. They were connected by God. The presence of Mary brings her great joy, not simply because it's Mary, but because of who Mary is carrying in her womb. You know, and in the same way, the presence of our Christian brothers and sisters bring us joy. For who else can relate? Who else can relate to us in the same way? Who else can we talk to about spiritual things? Who else knows the trials and struggles of following the Lord in a broken world? Who else knows that other than our brothers and sisters in the faith? And what joy we find when we meet together, not only in person, but also on the phone, online, or by letter. Our relationships with our Christian family is just different. I know this to be true in my life, to be able to share what's a huge part of my life with someone who knows, with someone who understands, with someone who's walking the same path in a large way, who also shares in the inheritance, is such a joy and such a comfort and such a pleasure. And it's not just because of that person, but it's because of who that person has in them. The Holy Spirit. The presence of God is with them because it's not only with our brothers and sisters, but it's with Christ as well. So not only do we find joy in the presence of our brothers and sisters, but we also find joy in the presence of Christ. Because who else understands? Who else knows? The Bible tells us that since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's us. For surely it's not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The presence of Christ with us, that we have access to Jesus, we have access to God, and this God knows our weaknesses, and he knows our struggles, and he shares in those. Not that he has weakness, not that he has struggles, but he understands them. And this God who is truly and really with us. And this brings us joy because there's someone who cares, someone who knows, someone who understands, someone who can help. And Elizabeth is joyful in seeing Mary, and so is John. John's still in the womb, and it says he leapt in the womb for joy. And so you see this picture of this little baby in the womb, you know, leaping for joy there in the womb because the presence of Mary is there, and by extension, the presence of Christ. And And even at this point, it's a cause of joy for him to be near the presence of God, to meet him in a way for the first time, to be with him is a source of joy. For John, this is the Lord whom he will go before. This is the Lord for whom he will prepare a people. Even before he was born, John was finding joy in the presence of the Lord. And this is the joy that we feel when Christ is revealed to us. The classic carol, O Holy Night, has a great line, and it really captures it well. It says, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Friends, are you weary? Me too. I think the world is weary. I think we're pining for something to change. We're pining for a better tomorrow. We're pining for a new and glorious morn. And I want to tell you, it's come in Christ. Set your eyes fully upon him again. Feel that joy that makes your body and soul leap like a deer, for Christ has come. We spoke last week about preparation, about how we can prepare ourselves for Christmas. And I just recall a story about Hudson. There was this time when my parents were on their way to visit, and he was just so excited. He was so excited that he could barely contain himself. His eyes were just alive with joy and anticipation. But that joy was nothing compared to the joy when they finally arrived. When his waiting was over, and they finally arrived, and his joy just exploded as he rushed out the door to see them. And so we can find joy in the waiting. We can find joy in the preparing. And that waiting, preparing often makes the arriving greater. And so if you feel like you've been waiting for God to do something in your life, you can find joy. But friends, don't just stay there. Jesus has come. Let him in. He stands at the door and knocks. Your time of preparation is over. He has come to you. Open the door. Open your heart fully to him and allow him to be your Lord of your life. Don't stand back. Don't stay at a distance, but jump in. Dive in. Grab a hold of the promises and live out your faith. See, Mary's joy overflows into song, and this type of song is called a canticle. It's and this canticle is called the Magnificat, and it begins this way: My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And this is the source of our joy as well. While we may find happiness and we find fleeting joy in our circumstances, the source of our joy is much deeper than that. It's in the presence of God our Savior. We have been saved. Our spirits can rejoice, for the Lord is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And whether Mary knew the extent of what her son would do, her joy was in God, her Savior, who would be with her and who would be with his people and who would fulfill his covenant, who would show mercy and he would save all of his elect. Emmanuel, God with us. The name or title reminds us of finding joy in his presence. It reminds us of him coming and coming to us. It also speaks to us now in this time of isolation, in this time of being separated and apart. It speaks to us of his presence, that God truly is with us. Christmas reminds us of this fact. It's not a wish. It's not a vain hope. It's not a feeling that comes and goes based on our moods. It's a reality that's just as much reality as the floor beneath you now. God is with you. If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, then God is with you. His Spirit indwells you. And so even though we may be apart, we are not alone. And let me draw out just one more thread here. It is the presence of God that brings joy to others. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, is a source of joy for others we interact with. Elizabeth has brought joy by the presence of the Lord. John has brought joy by the presence of the Lord. We are brought joy by the presence of the Lord, who is in the midst of us. when we gather in whatever way we gather. When I see you, when I see my Christian brothers and sisters, and you are an image, an imager of God, and you see me and I'm an imager of God, and there's another, and there's another, and Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them, because we see each other. There's a great story by C.S. Lewis, and he talked about losing a friend, and he says that when he lost the friend, they lost more than just a friend, but they lost this presence that the friend brought, that in the friend, in that person, he was able to see God in a way that he couldn't see in anybody else. See, it's that presence of God that brings joy to us. So friends, I want to encourage you, find joy in his presence and take time to find it. Set aside some time during a busy Christmas season just to reflect, just to rest in his presence. Put on some hymns, read the word, pray, make it a priority to connect with other brothers and sisters. And I want to say, make it a priority to connect with other brothers and sisters, not just to talk and complain about COVID. But make it a point to talk about Jesus, to encourage one another in what he's done for you, to tell of his mighty deeds, to remember the joy you had when you first met him, when he first came to you. Remember the joy of Elizabeth. Remember the joy of John, the joy of Mary, and the joy of the whole world when he came in the darkness, when no one was looking. He came. Amen. Amen. So like I said, we are going to sing the song, Mary, Did You Know? And the answer is she did know, I think, to a greater part. And but the song just had such beautiful imagery and such a beautiful picture. So join me as we sing.